Leviticus, this great book, chapter 26. My wife is tempted for next week's bulletin because it's the last chapter of this book to write hallelujah in it instead of putting the chapter down. It's been a hard book. It's been it's been long. It's been tedious at times, but it's been great because we've been seeing Jesus in the midst of it. We've been seeing his fulfillment of these words. And we just see the grace of God just to minister to his people. And we're just so thankful that he cares that much about us. There's not a page in Scripture where we can't see Jesus, where we can't see God's working in and through our lives. And so just continue to be blessed with his word. But he says here in verse 1 of chapter 26, you shall make no idols, nor graven image, neither rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down to it. And he tells us why. He says, because I'm the Lord your God. Isn't that great? These are the things you don't want to do because they're not good for your hearts. It's not that you can't do those things, you can. But you're not going to have a relationship with the Lord. You're going to have a relationship with a piece of stone. I don't know about you, but there's not a piece of stone in this world that I want to sit there and have a relationship with. I want to have a relationship with someone who's real, someone who's true, someone who can direct and lead and bring me into a right relationship with myself, with the people that are around me, with the world that I'm in. I want that instruction, and you can't get that from a stone. You can only get it from a person. And it's our Lord that does this. And then he says in verse 2, you shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord your God. And again, why do we do it? Because he's the Lord. And if we want a right relationship with our God, then these are the things that we're going to want to do. And remember, you don't have to do them, but we get to do them. This is a get-to relationship. We get to do these things. Because our God is good, and he's good all the time, and he always does what is good. And so we want to know what's good in this world. We don't need to know what's evil because we see the evil all around us. We hear of it. We look at it. We see the murders. We see the crimes. We see all of those things. We see our bodies breaking down. This law that says when you get old, your body's going to fall apart. And we're living testimonies of that, aren't we? Some of us have more bionic parts in our body than others. But we're all heading to that place because these bodies are breaking down, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. These bodies may be breaking down, but he's got a new body ready for us. And one day we're going to have those new bodies. And boy, are we going to be rejoicing. It's only going to take about 200,000-300,000 years of just rejoicing over our new bodies before we start doing something else. But it's all right. I don't think that's scriptural, but it's okay. You can think about it for a while. But in this chapter, it's much like Deuteronomy 28, where there's a portion of blessing, and then there's scriptures talking about the cursings. The ways that we go right and the ways that we go wrong and the consequences of both. And so we're going to see that this morning. And he starts out with a blessing. So this is kind of good news, bad news. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I choose the bad news first so I can get encouraged at the end. Sometimes I want to hear the good news first because I'm so depressed. So give me some good news and then we'll get to the bad news. But here the Lord gives us the good news first. This is what's going to happen if you follow after the Lord and you walk with him. And these are almost promises to us that this is what's going to happen. The consequences of you listening to the Lord and trusting the Lord and believing his promises, believing his word, these are the things that are going to follow that. And that's what we want. So we look at these things this morning. He says, if you walk in my statutes. So again, for the Lord, remember, he's not going to force you to do anything, but he wants you to. He wants you to go in the right direction. He wants you to live a life that glorifies him. He wants you to be in that place. And he says, if, because he's not going to force you to do it. But our hearts should be in a place, if we're born again of God's Spirit, if we know Jesus is Lord and Savior, if we're in that place where we submitted our lives to Him, we're going to want to walk after Him, because this is an active faith. This is not a faith that says, I want Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that's as far as I'm going, and I'm not going to do anything with Him after I get saved. Boy, you're going to miss out here on a blessed time in your walk with the Lord. You may get to heaven, but if you have an active faith, if you walk with Jesus, then it's even more of a blessing. Remember the two guys that after Jesus died on the cross, they left Jerusalem and they were on the road to Emmaus? It's a famous scripture. You guys know it. But they were depressed on their walk away from Jerusalem. They were downcast. They were discouraged, kind of like you and I. Part of our time in our lives that we're here and we get depressed about the things that are going on and the things that are happening. But they were depressed. And then Jesus joined them. He is risen from the dead. He joins them. He doesn't even tell them who He is. It's just amazing to me. These two guys are downcast, and He doesn't say, will you guys wake up? Look at who I am. He listens to them. He hears their heart. And then He opens their eyes as they sit down for a meal, as they sit down to break bread together. He opens their eyes, and they realize who He is. And they just get so excited, they run all the way back to Jerusalem. And it's dark, because they were sitting down for an evening meal. And they go all the way back to Jerusalem because they were so excited. When Jesus is in the walk with you, you can get excited. And it's okay to be excited about Jesus. It's okay to be excited about your walk with Him, because He wants you to be. But this act of faith says that we should be in that place where we want to walk with Him. It's not a have to again, and if you don't want to, you don't have to. But you're missing out on the best part of your life. Having kids, having grandkids, it's fun, it's important, but your walk with Jesus is more important. So He says, if you walk in My statutes and keep My commandments and do them, so we come to this first blessing, this first condition of blessing, this first place of blessing, and He tells us what it's going to be. He says, if you walk, then. So there's an if and then there's a then. So there's a conditional promise that's going on here. If you do this, then this is what's going to happen. And so you got to realize that what isn't there is, if you don't walk, then you're not going to get this. Ooh, well, Lord, I want it. Well, then you need to pay attention. He says, then I'm going to give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. So there's going to be bounty. There's going to be bountiful things that happen as you walk with the Lord. And not just physically, certainly that too, but spiritually. As we walk with Him, there's going to be bounty that comes into our life. There's going to be fruit that comes into our life as we walk with Him. And those are the things, the fruit that comes into our life, the fruit of the Spirit, as it talks about in Scripture, those nine descriptions of fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, kindness, temperance, goodness, all those things are going to be included in that are going to come into your life. And then we go, well, let's see, I could be miserable, and I could be downcast, I could be depressed all my life, or I could have fruit in my life that says I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, which are the things that we really want to have in our life. I don't know about you, but I don't like being miserable. I don't like being grumpy. And the people around me don't like being grumpy. You know, keep grumpy out of the house. You know, just, what was the old saying that a guy said he woke up grumpy in the morning? And he says, and then she got out of bed. It's just like, You don't want to be grumpy, because nobody likes it. Nobody wants to hang around you. They'd rather go somewhere else and have somebody else that's going to be fun and have all the fruit that's there. So the Lord says, then I'll give you rain in due season. The land is going to increase. The trees are going to increase. The fruit from them is going to increase. So in all of these things, we see that there's a blessing. There's a conditional blessing there. And He says it's going to be fruitful and it's going to come into your life. Oh. And then we go on to the second thing. And He says, in your threshing, shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and you shall dwell in your land safely. So the second thing is that there's going to be safety in your walk with the Lord. The Lord is going to allow nothing to come into your life than what he knows is going to be good for you. There's going to be safety for you. You're going to have safety from the enemies around. And as we walk with Jesus, we know that certainly he puts a hedge about us. Remember the book of Job, that Satan was complaining to the Lord because he couldn't touch Job because the Lord had put a hedge around him. There's going to be conditions that are around you. There's going to be things that are around you that the Lord is going to put there so that the enemy can't reach in. But it just like Job, sometimes the Lord allows those things because he needs to show us things that are going on in our life. But we know it's going to be for safety. It's going to be for good as long as the Lord is involved in it. Ugh. So he says all of these things are going to happen. In notice, too, as he says in verse 5 there, you're going to eat your bread to the full. And do something with that word. This isn't going to be just a little smidgen here and there. It isn't going to be just a little crumb. You aren't going to be like Oliver in Charles Dickens' play where he goes up and he says, can I have some more? And they look at him and say, more? You want more? And he says, you won't need more. Because everything I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you to the full. That's our God. The enemy wants to destroy everything and take everything away. And he says, I want you to be full. Ugh. And that's the way that our God is. That's who he is. So the second thing is there's going to be safety. You're going to eat to the full. The third thing is we go to verse 6 down through verse 9. Take a look at this here, and he says, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. You're going to lie down in safety. You're going to lie down and be able to sleep peacefully without distraction. I remember when the last job I had before I came to church here, it was an awful job, and COVID had to take me out so that I would realize that that job was just killing me and I had to get rid of it. But I was waking, I was coming home and going to sleep as soon as I got home because I was just so whooped because I was old. I'm still old. I'm older. but I was old, but I'm in that place and it was killing me. It was so much physical work. Lifting hundreds of pounds of stuff a day, driving all over the place, walking 7-8 miles a day, and just going through stuff, and it was just awful. Cass couldn't invite anybody over for dinner because I was a mess by the time I got home, and I didn't want to see anybody. It was just everything was out of whack, and I didn't even realize it, and then the Lord gave me COVID so that I'd realize, how much time did you waste? In that place where you weren't enjoying anything, nothing was fruitful, there was no peace. I was waking up at 3-4 in the morning and couldn't get back to sleep. So just a few hours of sleep, running myself ragged, and it was just, and yet the Lord was faithful. Just to knock on the door of my heart and say, do you really want this? You know, you could quit. I could. It was great. I didn't want to before that, but once he said I could, it was just, this would be great. This would be wonderful. And then he brought me here because he finally got me out of the wrong place, put me in the right place. I'll give peace in the land. Isn't that what we want? We keep praying for peace of Jerusalem. We keep praying for peace in our own lives, don't we? We pray for peace for our kids, peace for our neighbors. Peace for those that are around us. And you shall lie down and none is going to make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. The promises that are there. And you shall chase your enemies and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you, because of the strength that you have, are going to chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and I will make you fruitful, and will multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. So the third thing then, he's going to establish his ways in our life. The third blessing that's going to come as we walk with the Lord and follow after him is that he's going to establish his promises to your life and my life. Oh, Lord, that's what I want. And then he says in verse 10, and you shall eat the old store, the old increase from the land that's been there, and bring forth the old because of the new. You're going to rotate those things through, because in the promise that's in there, the blessing that's in there is that you're going to have enough to replace the old as you eat it. You're going to have more. It's like this country is just so amazing. When you go to Wegmans, you just don't see one can of tuna fish on the shelf. You see a bunch. It isn't like COVID where you went in to get toilet paper and all you found was napkins because there was no toilet paper left. There's no paper towels. There's nothing. There's no Kleenex. There was nothing. But some of these countries, they walk miles and miles and miles to get to a place where they can get something, and they find nothing there. And you wonder, Lord, are they following after you? Or do you have your hand upon them for a reason? What's going on there? But we have such a blessing. Our pantries are full. Our cupboards are full of food and stuff. We are blessed beyond measure. But the time is coming, I think, for this land, and I think we're already seeing parts of it happen, where there's judgment that's going to come upon our land because of all that we've done with the babies. We've killed 65 million babies since Roe versus Wade. There's going to be judgment coming, and I think it's already started. But the judgment that comes has a lot of ramifications that are with it. And we need to repent and turn and let the Lord deal with us and bring our country, bring our land to a place, a right place again. We don't know if that's ever going to happen, but that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so, Lord, help us to pray. You're going to eat of the old and bring forth of the old because there's new coming in, and I'm going to set my tabernacle among you, which means what? His presence is going to be with us. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us or forsaken us. Remember in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, I think, he saw the glory of the Lord go out from the tabernacle, above the place of the tabernacle, and then just leave his presence. It wasn't Ezekiel, but it's in the Old Testament. You'll correct me as I go through. Thank you very much for it. So, but he said, I'm going to tabernacle among you. And doesn't he say that in the New Testament to us? Jesus says, I'm going to tabernacle among you. Oh, thank you, Lord. And my soul shall not abhor you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't hate you? Oh, thank you, Lord. He loves us. Because he came to seek and to save those that were lost and to bring us into a right relationship with him. And then he says in verse 12, and I will. Notice there's these I wills, verse 11, verse 12. I will. These are the things I'm going to do in your life and for you. Lord, that's what I want. And I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. So the promise is that God is going to be with us, and God is going to direct us and lead us. And I'm so thankful that we can see that in our lives, we can realize that, and we can grab a hold of it and just gravitate to that place where he will walk among us. And he finishes up this section, and he says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. I brought you out of that place of bondage, and Egypt always represents the world to us in Scripture. So he's brought us out of the world, and he's given us new life. He's given us a new hope. He's given us a new direction. He's given us new words to say. He's given us a new mind. He wants to do all those things in our life, and he says, I've broken the bands of your yoke. You know why he says he did it? Because we couldn't, and we didn't want to. There's so many people that say, I wish I could stop drinking. Well, then stop. I can't, or I won't. And isn't that us before Christ? We wanted to stop doing the wrong things. We wanted to stop being mean and grumpy and disgusting and all of that, but we couldn't because we didn't want to. But now that we have Jesus, now that he's come into our lives, if we're born again, then we have the power to be able to do that because he's our power. He's our strength. We couldn't do it in our flesh, but he could do it. And he's done it. And I'm so thankful because you wouldn't be here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or Saturday for baptism or whatever unless God has done a work in your life. We'd be back out at the bars or back out doing whatever we were doing. Instead, we've got new direction. We've got new things that we look at. We've got new reading material that's great, and he loves us. And he said, I've broken the bands of your yoke, and notice, I've made you go upright. You're upright in your walk. You're upright in your speech. You're upright in the way that you think, the way that you act, the way that you go forward. And this is the end of blessing. 13 verses, not even, because the first two were something else. So really, 11 verses. The rest of the chapter, folks, and if you look at it, there's a long way to go. It's the cursings that are going to happen if you don't. It's the same thing with Deuteronomy. I think there's 15 verses that talk about the blessing, and the rest of the 62 verses are awful. The condition of the things that are going to happen if you don't walk with the Lord. And they're here to instruct us. They're here to teach us. They're here to show us what's going to happen if we go the wrong way. And if we're in the wrong way and we see these things in our lives, we can say, aha, Lord, you're showing me something. I'm going the wrong way. Lord, turn me around. And aren't you so thankful that he's faithful and he loves you that much where he'll come in and turn you around? He doesn't have to. He doesn't need us. He just wants us. You're wanted by the Lord and you're loved by the Lord. And he wants to have the very best for you. He wants you to enjoy that. And so turn to him. Don't fight with the world. Don't fight with the devil. Don't fight with all those things. Turn to Jesus and let him turn you around and show you the right way to go and what to do in the midst of where you are now. Just because the enemy is around you doesn't mean that you belong to him. You don't. You belong to Jesus. But the evil that's around us in this world is not there to become part of us. We're in the world, but we're not part of the world. We're different than the world. So, Lord, help me to walk in the truth of that difference and help me just to walk the way that you have for me. But that means you need to be in his word. You need to be reading. You need to be looking to him. And again, not because you have to, but because you get to. I get to read about the God that loves me. I get to read about what he has for me. I get to read about the heaven that he's going to take me to one day. And those things should be an encouragement for you. And that's what the word is for, is to encourage you, to strengthen you. And so have your heart open to the word and just let the word do that work that he sent it forth to do. But he says this in verse 14. He says, but. And sometimes those buts are good. Sometimes they're real bad. This is one of the bad ones. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do these commandments. Notice what he says. If you don't listen to me and you don't want to do these things. Notice he doesn't say that you can't. He says that you won't because it's your choice. Oh, Lord, really, that's me? That I choose to go the wrong direction? He says, yeah, pretty much. Because I don't want you to go that way. You just choose to go that way. Oh. And if you shall despise my statutes or your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you want to break my covenant, then I'll do this unto you. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to bring this to your life. And why is he going to bring these things to our life? To show us we're going in the wrong direction. It's not that he wants to hurt us. He just wants to show us that we're causing destruction to our own lives, to our own marriages, to our own kids, to our own neighborhood, to our own workplace, because we're going in the wrong direction. And we're not going to be a blessing to those people around us. We're going to be a curse. Oh, we bring with us what we want as we walk through this world. It says, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to appoint over you terror, which is just the opposite of what we saw in the blessings, right? We're going to be able to sleep at night. We're not going to be afraid. And he says, but if you don't, there's going to be terror over your life. Oh, there's going to be consumption, the burning ague. I don't even like the sounds of that. I don't want it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to have it. It doesn't even sound good. And that shall consume your eyes, because the things that you're looking at are the things that you're going to become. They're going to hurt your eyes. Your eyesight's going to be dimmed. It's going to be blackened because of the sin that's around you. And again, this can be you and I. Not that we lose our salvation, because once you're saved, you're eternally saved. But you can lose the presence of the Lord in your life, and you really need to turn from it. You don't need to fight the enemy. You don't need to fight the world. You need to just repent and turn. It's going to consume your eyes, and it's going to cause sorrow of heart. Everything that you do is going to cause sorrow to come into your life. Sounds awful, doesn't it? We sit there and read it, And we go, yuck, I don't want that. The people of Israel, folks, did the same thing. Moses was telling them, Joshua was telling them, these are the things that are going to be a blessing, these are the things that are going to be a curse. And what did the people say? Whatever God says we're going to do. And they meant it. But the next day they turned around and started complaining and whining and murmuring and doing everything that God said don't do. Folks, that's you and I. We can do the same thing because we're fighting a battle in this flesh between good and evil. It's just like that picture, you know, the little angel sitting on one side and the devil sitting on the other side. Why don't you do this? It'll be good. Don't do that. It'll be awful. You know, we go back and forth. We're double-minded. God wants us to be single-minded, single-focused, and that means you're with him and walking with him. But look at what happens, and you shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies are going to eat it. Your enemies are going to come. Remember what the blessings were? There's going to be no enemies around you. And if they do come, five of you are going to chase 100. But when you walk away from the things of the Lord, your enemies come and steal everything that you have. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. And then we come to the place, verse 17, and look at the first word, and. Verse 18, and. Verse 19, and. Verse 20, and. Verse 21, and. You go through, and all of these things are going to happen to you if you're going in the wrong direction. Oh, that is awful. But this is part of God's word, and we go into it just to realize and just to let him show us where we are in our walk with him, how we're walking, and if we're walking the right way. These things are here for instruction, for admonition. And sometimes we do need to be chastised, and it's okay. What does the Lord say? If you're not in a place where you're being chastised, then you're none of his, because he loves you, and he wants to direct you. So he says in verse 17, and I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, and they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. You're going to be scared of the shadows. And you shall not yet for all this hearken unto me. Isn't that sad? For all of this, you won't turn to me. He's saying that directly to the people. He's saying it directly to you and I. Not because they can't, but again, because they won't. Ugh. And then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. 7, the number of perfection in Scripture. He says, I'll be perfect in my judgment upon you, so that you will have that opportunity to turn. And I'll break the pride of your power, and I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Brass and iron, just speaking of the judgment that comes upon our lives. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, there it is again, not hearkening unto the things of the Lord. He's going to say that a few times in here. I will bring what? 7 times. There's that number again. Perfection. 7 times more plagues upon you. You think the world has got plagues? Then I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle, make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Oh, and this is so sad. This is hard to get through, but certainly good for us because we need to hear the Lord speak to us. He said, and if you will not be reformed, and again, there it is, if you will not. It's not that you can't, you won't. If you won't be reformed by me in these things, I will walk contrary to you. You don't want God walking against you. And then I will walk also contrary against you and punish you yet 7 times more for your sins. It tells us this in the book of Amos, chapter 4, starting at verse 6. He says, also I have given unto you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread. Your teeth are clean because you're not eating anything, is really what he's saying. That's awful. And want of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me. Why did the Lord allow it? Because they weren't walking with him, and they didn't want to. And folks, that can happen to you and I. Also, I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain on another. One piece was rained upon, and the other piece whereupon it rained, not where it didn't rain upon, it withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. There's no satisfaction in walking against the Lord. No matter where you go and you get water, you get food, you're not satisfied. There's no satisfaction where the Lord isn't involved. When you're with the Lord and walking with the Lord, you're satisfied with who your God is and how you are. I've also smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, and then the palmer worm came and devoured them, and you have not returned unto me. Why do you allow it? So that they would turn to him. Oh, history is awful, isn't it? Especially when we don't pay attention to it and we don't realize that that was there. We don't want to repeat history. But what are we doing? We're repeating history. I have sent among you the pestilence in the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with a sword and taken away your horses. I've made you stink in your camps, and it's come up to your nostrils, and yet you still haven't returned unto me. I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, and yet you have not returned unto me. I've saved you, I've protected you, I've kept you, and now you've walked away and you still won't return to me. I have overthrown some of you that way, he says. And he finishes up there in Amos in this chapter. He says, therefore, this will I do unto you, O Israel, and because I will do this unto you, prepare to meet your God. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and created the wind and declared unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. He says, the Lord of hosts, the God of hosts is his name. That's his character, that's his nature, that's who he is. And he says, I'm the one that's done it all. The world says, look at what we created. And God says, you didn't create anything, I did it. Oh, I'm the one that gave you strength to do the job that you have. I'm the one that's giving you the money so that you can have a house. I'm the one that's giving you your wife and your kids to be a blessing. I'm the one that's done it. You haven't done it, I did. And yet we won't return to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, thank you. Instead, we shake our fists at him. We see the same thing going on in the book of Revelation, don't we? That in the end, after all the plagues and all the awfulness, that time of great tribulation that comes upon the earth, and yet people are still going to shake their fist at God, Scripture says. And that could be you and I if we don't submit to the things of the Lord. I don't want to shake my fist at the Lord. Ugh. I don't want to get upset with the Lord for what's going on. I want to know that he's doing it for a purpose, for a reason, and I want to trust him. And yet he goes on with these chastisements, these blessings that have happened in verse 25, and we'll finish up quick, hopefully, here, because this is awful. And I will bring a sword upon you and avenge the quarrel of my covenant when you are gathered together within your cities. They gather together to come against the Lord. And he says, it doesn't matter if you gather together, it's still going to be awful. Just because you're a group doesn't mean I'm going to listen to you. If you won't listen to me as one, you're not going to listen to me as a group. I'm going to send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered to the hand of your enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. There's going to be such a shortage that 10 women are going to bake in one oven because they don't have enough to bake in 10 ovens, and they're all going to come together and put it all together, and they're going to bake it, and it still won't satisfy you because there's not enough. So many countries, so much shortage. And why? Because of sin. Because people won't turn to the Lord. Verse 27, and if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you. Look at who makes the first move. When it comes to salvation, God makes the first move to come to us, doesn't he? But when it comes to walking contrary, he lets us make the first move. He says, I'm not going to walk contrary to you until you turn and walk away from me. Oh, there's a responsibility that we have in our own hearts, our own lives. We're either going to walk with God or we're going to walk against him. Ugh. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But we see later on in Scripture that there's cannibalism in cities because there is no food. There is nothing. And we devour not only physically, but spiritually sometimes too, don't we? And emotionally and mentally. When we come against others, we're eating them up and spitting them out, aren't we? Oh, Lord, help us not to do that. Give us a heart that wouldn't do that. I will destroy your high places, cut down your images, cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. He says, if you want idols, you can have idols, but you're going to die with your idol, and it's going to do you no good because it can't save you. And I will make your cities waste. I don't know about you, but I look around the cities. In the last job, again, before I had this one, I drove around the city a lot, delivering parts and doing all of that stuff. And there's waste places in our cities. You go down the street, and all there is garbage all over the streets. People get out of their cars, and they kick all the stuff, all their bottles, all their cans, all their wrappers. They kick them out of the car and just leave them on the ground. Waste places. Instead of being someplace nice, it looks like a trash heap. That's what our world's becoming. No wonder God is going to deal with us. We've turned our backs on him. We've walked away from him. I'm going to make your cities waste and your sanctuaries to desolation. I won't smell the savor of your sweet odors. In other words, there's a place in there where people are still proclaiming the name of Jesus, but they're not walking with him. And we can do that individually. We could do that as a body of believers. We could do that as a church, and he doesn't receive it because our hearts aren't right. Make sure this morning that your heart is right with the Lord. This is a hard message, and I'm not really sorry for it. I am sorry for it because this is our condition sometimes. I fall into this place. You do, because we're all the same. We all have the same nature. And he says in verse 32, and I'll bring you into the land of desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished. Because you're supposed to be a Christian nation, and look how awful you are. They're astonished. They can't believe it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and draw out a word after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. And then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. Because you wouldn't proclaim the Sabbath. You wouldn't walk in the way of walking rightly in the Sabbath. And so I'm going to bring this to you so that the land will have the Sabbath. I'm going to take care of the land, God says. And as long as it lies desolate and be your enemy's land, and then the land shall rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. And as long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelled upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from the sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth, and they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a word when none pursueth, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You have no power because the Lord is not with you and you're not walking with him, and you have no power. You get weak. When you get bad news, instead of standing strong and staying upon the rock of Jesus Christ, you get bad news and you're on the sinking sand and you just fall through it. You have no strength. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in their enemies' lands. They shall be disheartened. They're going to walk in those ways where they're just always going to be depressed. Their heads are always down. Nobody's smiling. Nobody's happy. Kind of sounds like America. And also in the iniquity of your fathers shall they pine away with them. But, and then the Lord brings another but. But if they shall confess their iniquity in the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, in that also they have walked contrary to me. If you come and really confess your sin and repent before him, in that I have also walked contrary to them and have brought them into a land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then they shall accept the punishment of their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land The land also shall be left of them, and they shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despise my judgment, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. And yet for all of that, when they shall be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Even though we have cast God away, he said, when you're in the enemy's land, I'm not going to cast you away. I want you to return. I want you to come forward. I want you to have a good life in this world. I will abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant, for I am the Lord. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. I am the Lord, as he proclaims who he is. Almost sounds like 1 Chronicles 7:14, doesn't it? That if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, then I'll come and I'll heal their land. Gee, it's like God's word is the same all the way through. He's not changing his mind. It's still the same. He's the same God that says the same things, and he always does the same things. And you can count on it. Aren't you glad that you have somebody there that you can count on? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more things I forget. And the kids look at me and say, remember when you used to say this? You don't say it anymore. I said, I did. I change because my mind is gone. God doesn't change because his mind is never gone. It's always there, and it's always the same. I'm so thankful. These are the statutes and the judgments and the law which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses, as he brought it forth by the hand of Moses. I'm so thankful for his word, but boy, some of these pictures, some of these chapters just get real hard. They get tedious, they get hard, but don't let it wear on you. Just remember, that's how much God loves you, that he knows what you're going to do. He points it out to you. He tells you what's going to happen. And then when it does, you don't have to be surprised. But remember that his good news comes first. And the good news is that Jesus came and died for your sin and my sin. He shed his blood on the cross so that we could have eternal life. Because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. His blood covering. We're going to take communion as we do every Sunday, just to remember what God has got done for us. So, Father, as we come before you, Lord, and partake of this communion, just settle our hearts for a moment, Father, as we prepare to take communion, that you'd speak to us, that you'd minister to us. As the piano plays, as we sit before you, that you would just speak to our hearts. If we're in any place in one of those conditions where it's destruction and all of those things, Father, help us to repent and to turn, because you said you were going to be faithful always, and you'd be faithful to forgive us of our sins as we confess and bring it before you. So thank you for that, Lord. If we're in a place of blessing, Lord, thank you. May we just sit here before you and thank you today, that we are in a place of blessing, that we are in a place where we're walking with you and you are performing those things that you said you would do. Help us to be thankful that your word is true and that it's right always. But Lord, protect us and keep us. We need your power in us. We need who you are in us. So fill us afresh with your spirit, Lord. Overflow us, but speak to us, Lord, as we sit before you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we come this morning just thanking you for this day and thanking you for all that you've done. And we hold in our hands these tokens, Lord. And we know this isn't your body. This isn't your blood. These are tokens that you told us to remember with. As you at the Last Supper passed out the bread, passed out the cup, and said, when you take these, remember me. And so, Lord, we come remembering all that you've done, remembering why you came, remembering what you've done when you came, and why you got on the cross, Lord, why you paid the price for us, because we had a price we couldn't pay, and you, who was perfect in every way, paid it for us, because you had the perfect sacrifice. We couldn't offer enough to take care of our sin, but you offered it for us with your precious blood. And so, Lord, we thank you for it. We look at the bread and we see the holes, just reminding us of the holes that were put in your hands and your feet, your head, your side. We hold the cup, reminding us of your blood that was poured out. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There's no taking away of sin. But because of what you've done, there is that taking away. And we're thankful this morning, Lord, because you have come to take away our sin. And we thank you for it, Lord. The enemy wants to bring it up and to show us how bad our past was. And it was. We are bad, but you are good. And so we just thank you for it, Lord. And we take these now, remembering what you've done, knowing that there's forgiveness with you, and rejoicing in it, Lord. So we take these now with thankful hearts, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.